Welcome back, everybody, to Ehud and Othniel, reading through the Bible with friends, who one of our friends is named Hannah.
Yeah, kind of boring compared to the other two.
Maybe. We don't know. You know what, Hannah? Here's the thing. We could go around stabbing fat kings if we wanted to, but we're not left-handed.
Fair. Yeah. I mean, we're dexterous. Does that count?
You're ambidextrish. You like that one?
I do.
Yeah.
I got a smirk.
Hey, a little peek behind the curtain at the podcast today. Hannah and I forgot that we were supposed to record this until 9 o'clock last night when Allison asked me to send her the recording. That's what happens in Easter week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Things go to the wayside.
Yeah. It's all good. But we are glad to be here. We're glad to be reading. There are some really good stories in today's reading.
Eric's excited.
My favorite woman in the Bible comes forward in today's reading.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. My favorite woman in the Bible. Do you know who it is?
I have an inkling.
What do you think?
I mean, I know who it is.
Who is it?
Deborah.
Wrong. Good try, Hannah. I totally set you up. But you will know by the end of the reading, you're going to go, oh, yeah, okay.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, we're going to read today. Oh, today is day 90. 90. That's crazy.
Speaking of day 90.
Oh. Yes?
I'm in Judges 3. Through 5.
Mm-hmm.
The nations left in Canaan.
Oh, and we're going to read 1 John chapter 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both of those.
Go ahead, girl.
Judges 3, the nations left in Canaan. These are the nations that the Lord left in the land to test those Israelites who had not experienced the wars of Canaan. He did this to teach warfare to generations of Israelites who had no experience in battle. These are the nations, the Philistines, those living under the five Philistine rulers, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, and the Hivites, living in the mountains of Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon to Lebo Hamath. These people were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the commands the Lord had given to their ancestors through Moses. So the people of Israel lived among the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, and they intermarried with them. Israelite sons married their daughters, and Israelite daughters were given in marriage to their sons. And the Israelites served their gods.
Othniel becomes Israel's judge. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. They forgot about the Lord their God, and they served the images of Baal and the Asherah poles. Then the Lord burned with anger against Israel, and he turned them over to King Cushan-Rishathaim of Aram-Naharaim. And the Israelites served Cushan-Rishathaim for 8 years. But when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, the Lord raised up a rescuer to save them. His name was Othniel, the son of Caleb's younger brother, Kenaz. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he became Israel's judge. He went to war against King Cushan-Rishathaim of Aram, and the Lord gave Othniel victory over him. So there was peace in the land for 40 years. Then Othniel, son of Kenaz, died.
Ehud becomes Israel's judge. Once again, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight, and the Lord gave King Eglon of Moab control over Israel because of their evil. Eglon enlisted the Ammonites and the Amalekites as allies, and then he went out and defeated Israel, taking possession of Jericho, the city of palms. And the Israelites served Eglon of Moab for 18 years. But when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, the Lord again raised up a rescuer to save them. His name was Ehud, son of Gera, a left-handed man of the tribe of Benjamin. The Israelites sent Ehud to deliver the tribute money to King Eglon of Moab. So Ehud made a double-edged dagger that was about a foot long, and he strapped it to his right thigh, keeping it hidden under his clothing. He brought the tribute money to Eglon, who was very fat. After delivering the payment, Ehud started home with those who had helped carry the tribute. But when Ehud reached the stone idols near Gilgal, he turned back. He came to Eglon and said, "I have a secret message for you." So the king commanded his servants, "Be quiet," and he sent them all out of the room. Ehud walked over to Eglon, who was sitting alone in a cool upstairs room. And Ehud said, "I have a message from God for you." As King Eglon rose from his seat, Ehud reached with his left hand, pulled out the dagger strapped to his right thigh, and plunged it into the king's belly. The dagger went so deep that the handle disappeared beneath the king's fat. So Ehud did not pull out the dagger, and the king's bowels emptied. Then Ehud closed and locked the doors of the room and escaped down the latrine. After Ehud was gone, the king's servants returned and found the doors to the upstairs room locked. They thought he might be using the latrine in the room, so they waited. But when the king didn't come out after a long delay, they became concerned and got a key. and when they opened the doors, they found their master dead on the floor. While the servants were waiting, he had escaped, passing the stone idols on his way to Syria. When he arrived in the hill country of Ephraim, Ehud sounded a call to arms. Then he led a band of Israelites down from the hills. "Follow me," he said, "for the Lord has given you victory over Moab, your enemy." So they followed him. And the Israelites took control of the shallow crossings of the Jordan River across the Moab, preventing anyone from crossing. They attacked the Moabites and killed about 10,000 of their strongest and most able-bodied warriors. Not one of them escaped. So Moab was conquered by Israel that day, and there was peace in the land for 80 years.
Shamgar becomes Israel's judge. After Ehud, Shamgar, son of Anath, rescued Israel. He once killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad.
Judges 4, Deborah becomes Israel's judge. After Ehud's death, the Israelites again did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord turned them over to King Jabin of Hazor, a Canaanite king. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Haggaim. Sisera, who had 900 iron chariots, ruthlessly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. Then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help. Deborah, the wife of Lappidoth, was a prophet who was judging Israel at the time. She would sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites would go to her for judgment. One day she sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, who lived in Kedesh in the land of Naphtali. She said to him, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, commands you. Call about 10,000 warriors from the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun at Mount Tabor, and I will call out Sisera, commander of Jabin's army, along with his chariots and warriors, to the Kishon River. There I will give you victory over him." Barak told her, "I will go, but only if you go with me." "Very well," she replied, "I will go with you, but you will receive no honor in this venture, for the Lord's victory over Sisera will be at the hands of a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kedesh. At Kedesh, Barak called together the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali, and 10,000 warriors went up with him. Deborah also went with him. Now Heber, the Kenite, a descendant of Moses' brother-in-law, Hobab, had moved away from the other members of his tribe and pitched his tent by the oak of Zaananim near Kedesh. When Sisera was told that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, he called for all 900 of his iron chariots and all of his warriors, and they marched from Harosheth Haggaim to the Kishon River. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Get ready. This is the day the Lord will give you victory over Sisera, for the Lord is marching ahead of you." So Barak led his 10,000 warriors down the slopes of Mount Tabor into battle. When Barak attacked, the Lord threw Sisera and all his chariots and warriors into a panic. Sisera leaped down from his chariot and escaped on foot. Then Barak chased the chariots and the enemy army all the way to Harosheth Haggaim, killing all of Sisera's warriors. Not a single one was left alive. Meanwhile, Sisera ran to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, because Heber's family was on friendly terms with King Jabin of Hazor. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Come into my tent, sir. Come in. Don't be afraid." So he went into her tent and she covered him with a blanket. "Please give me some water," he said. "I'm thirsty." So she gave him some milk from a leather bag and covered him again. "Stand at the door of the tent," he told her. "If anyone comes and asks you if there is anyone here, say no." But when Sisera fell asleep from exhaustion, Jael quickly crept up to him with a hammer and tent peg in her hand. Then she drove the tent peg through his temple and into the ground, so he died. When Barak came looking for Sisera, Jael went out to meet him. She said, "Come, and I will show you the man you are looking for." So he followed her into the tent and found Sisera laying there dead with the tent peg through his temple. So on that day, Israel saw God defeat Jabin, the Canaanite king. And from that time on, Israel became stronger and stronger against King Jabin until they finally destroyed him.
The Song of Deborah. Hannah, I'm going to be singing this.
Okay, so. Please do. I'll accompany you.
On that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Abinoam, sang this song. Israel's leaders took charge, and the people gladly followed. Praise the Lord. Listen, you kings, pay attention, you mighty rulers, for I will sing to the Lord. I will make music to the Lord, the God of Israel. Lord, when you set out from Seir and marched across the fields of Edom, the earth trembled, and the cloudy skies poured down rain. The mountains quaked in the presence of the Lord, the God of Mount Sinai, in the presence of the Lord, the God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, and in the days of Jael, people avoided the main roads, and travelers stayed on winding pathways. There were few people left in the villages of Israel until Deborah arose as a mother for Israel. When Israel chose new gods, war erupted at the city gates, yet not a shield or spear could be seen among 40,000 warriors in Israel. My heart is with the commanders of Israel, for those who volunteered for war, praise the Lord. Consider this, you who ride on fine donkeys, you who sit on fancy saddle blankets, and you who walk along the road. Listen to the village musicians gathered at the watering holes. They recount the righteous victories of the Lord and the victories of his villagers in Israel. Then the people of the Lord march down to the city gates. Wake up, Deborah, wake up. Wake up, wake up, and sing a song. Arise, Barak, lead your captives away, son of Abinoam. Down from Tabor marched the few against the nobles. The people of the Lord marched down against mighty warriors. They came down from Ephraim, a land that once belonged to the Amalekites. They followed you, Benjamin, with your troops. From Machir, the commanders marched down. From Zebulun, those who carry a commander's staff. The princes of Issachar were there with Deborah and Barak. They followed Barak, rushing into the valley. But in the tribe of Reuben, there was great indecision. Why did you sit at home among the sheepfolds to hear the shepherds whistle for their flocks? Yes, in the tribe of Reuben there was great indecision. Gilead remained east of the Jordan. And why did Dan stay home? Asher sat unmoved at the seashore, remaining in his harbors. But Zebulun risked his life, as did Naphtali, on the heights of the battlefield. The kings of Canaan came and fought at Tanakh near Megiddo Springs, but they carried off no silver treasures. The stars fought from heaven. The stars in their orbits fought against Sisera. The Kishon River swept them away, the ancient torrent, the Kishon. March on with courage, my soul. Then the horse's hooves hammered the ground, the galloping, galloping of Sisera's mighty steeds. Let the people of Meroz be cursed, said the angel of the Lord. Let them be utterly cursed, because they did not come to help the Lord, to help the Lord against the mighty warriors. Most blessed among women is Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. May she be blessed above all women who live in tents. Sisera asked her for water, and she gave him milk. In a bowl fit for nobles, she brought him yogurt. Then, with her left hand, she reached for a tent peg, and with her right hand, for the workman's hammer. She struck Sisera with the hammer, crushing his head. With a shattering blow, she pierced his temples. He sank. He fell. He lay still at her feet, and where he sank, there he died. From the window, Sisera's mother looked out. Through the window she watched for his return, saying, why is his chariot so long in coming, and why don't we hear the sound of chariot wheels? Her wise women answer, and she repeats the words to herself. They must be dividing the captured plunder with a woman or two for every man. There will be colorful robes for Sisera, and colorful embroidered robes for me. Yes, the plunder will include colorful robes embroidered on both sides. Lord, may all your enemies die like Sisera. But may those who love you rise like the sun in all its power. Then there was peace in the land for 40 years. Okay, off we go to 1 John chapter 3.
Okay, just 3?
I think so.
Okay. 1 John chapter 3. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure just as he is pure. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin, but anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning, because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning, because they are children of God. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God.
Love one another. This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing what was evil, and his brother had been doing what was righteous. So don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. If we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let's show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and He knows everything. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with a bold confidence. We will receive from Him whatever we ask because we obey Him and do things that please Him. And this is His commandment. We must believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with Him, and He with them. And we know He lives in us because the Spirit He gave us lives in us. And that is our reading today. Favorite woman in the Bible?
Jael.
Oh my gosh. How awesome is that?
It's pretty cool.
Hey, come in here.
I remember that story.
I have milk. Come here. Okay. I'm going to take a nap. I need you to stand watch for me.
What was the significance of him asking for water and giving him milk?
Well, I think milk was like much more a commodity.
Oh.
So like she upped it. So she was making him feel even more honored.
Okay.
And then she nailed his head to the ground.
Yeah.
I would never move that. That would become the new decoration in my house. I'd be like, you know how there's peace in Israel for 40 years?
Mm-hmm. Come look in the den.
Yeah, exactly. Here. Come into my woman cave. Yeah.
Oh, that's
rough. Don't eat the yogurt.
Nope. Do it.
So we read all that.
Mm-hmm.
Good passages. Really good passages.
Mm-hmm.
I also really like the story of Deborah, Barak, and Jael, because when you read it, at first it's like Deborah says to Barak, well, you're not going to get any of the honor. Israel's going to be saved by a woman. And it sounds like she's talking about herself.
Right.
That's the cool twist. There's a twist. Cool. And then I also like that she writes the first diss track in history where she's like, yo, and some of the tribes didn't even show up for the war.
Yeah. Yeah. Her song is very funny.
I know. I was thinking the whole time.
It is very funny.
That I would very much like for you to go ahead and write a worship song based on that. May all your enemies die like Sisera.
My favorite is, and why did Dan stay home? Just like threw it in there.
You know what?
It's like the epilogue. Like,
yeah, that's the diss track.
Why did Dan stay home?
I want that.
We can do that.
Yeah.
The Chip and Eric and Friends soundtrack.
That sounds good. And so the song could be called Die Like Sisera.
Die Like Sisera.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah.
Take me to jail.
Sisera asked for water and she gave him milk.
So bad.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right.
So anyway.
Anyway.
No disrespect. Also, I love that they sing it together. It says on the
page. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I love, so they're either taking turns going back and forth, or they're just, or Barak, the idiot, who wouldn't go alone. Like, Deborah's like, listen, you kings.
Right. Or like harmonizing. Like, yeah.
Kings.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, man. God,
I think they just ad-libbed it.
Maybe.
I think they did.
I mean, the way, yeah.
Well, she obviously is a freestyle rapper. You know what I mean?
I do.
That's why
I can
she's
read
like,
what you mean.
She was like, you know, I mean, what? How much worse could it be than like, yeah, in the tribe of Reuben, there was great indecision. In the tribe of Reuben, there was great indecision. Get it?
And then you go, great indecision.
Uh-huh. That's right. Die like Sisera. Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, so this has been 3 minutes of us ranting about
Okay.
So we read all of that with two questions in mind.
Two.
I love that the banter came because sometimes people skip the banter, which I totally get. I totally get that. I love that the banter came before the takeaways. So there's no way for you to skip it.
Oh, yeah. Nope.
So which one do you want? Love God or love others more?
I mean,
for people that have never heard this before.
Okay.
We read with two questions in mind. Mm-hmm. Helps us focus, if you can't tell, on what we're reading. How does this help me love God more? How does this help me love others more? So, Hannah, which one would you like to answer?
I'm going to take the softball.
Others?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, John, 1 John 3
yeah,
is
absolutely.
Like, here is how to love others more. So, I don't know. Just what stuck out to me, I guess, about that was, like, sure, it's like a prescription for how to, not even description, like a prescription of how to love others. But, like, the golden rule exists. And, like, God says, you know, keep my two commandments, love God, love others. But, like, not just there, but in so many other places, evil is like synonymous with not loving others.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not just like loving others is like loving God. Like, evil, like the bat, like the dark side of that is that if loving God and if loving others is godlike, then not loving others is evil.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. And it, I mean, it says right here, like, obviously, like we know the fruits that one bears
mm-hmm.
shows whether you're a Christian and what you believe in your faith and all that. And, like, if you don't, it's not like, oh, yeah, if you don't steal, if you don't do this, like, if you don't love others, then you're not a child of God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I preached on this a couple months ago, and it really stood out to me that you can have one of two legacies. You can have the legacy of Christ, loving one another, or the legacy of Cain.
Yeah. There's no in between.
And Cain was not an irreligious man.
Right.
Cain was trying
mm-hmm.
in a very half-hearted way to worship. He knew God. He spoke to God. Like, he was not an irreligious man. He just had no love.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what you're describing, is like this idea of, you know, it doesn't matter all the other, you can do every churchy thing that you think you're supposed to do, but if you don't love others, you don't have a relationship with God.
And, like, worse than that, like, you can do nice things for people
uh-huh.
and, like, show them love without loving them.
Absolutely.
And, like, that's something I definitely struggle with. I mean, it's really freaking hard to love people.
Okay, well, now the podcast is rated PG, but okay.
It is, though.
Yeah.
Like, that is an appropriate use of that word. It is really freaking hard to love people sometimes.
PG-13.
Wait, because I said it twice?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're only allowed one,
yeah, okay, that's
one
enough.
Swear
that's
or whatever.
Enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, but it is. And so that's something I struggle with.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone in that. I think that is a constant struggle. Jesus
like
said,
loving people.
Jesus said, love God and love others. And then he said, all the law and prophets hang on these two commandments.
And they do.
Yeah, they do.
Like, when you look at all of the other commands and, like, all of the other things to obey, like, the way you obey, like, it's loving other people. And it's easy. That makes it easy. But it's the hardest thing. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
yeah.
How does it make me love people? Like, yeah, it's just...
It just shows you the magnitude of how important it is, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Just flipping it. Like, you see all the pot, like the fluffy stuff. Not fluff, but fluffy stuff. Like, oh yeah, loving others is like loving God and like the happy stuff. But like, you, at some point you have to flip it and see
save,
that like there's an alternative.
And if you don't, you
right.
don't belong to God.
Right.
Right.
That's a
yeah.
thing. That's a bold thing to say. And
yes.
like, that's something that people need to really check themselves on. Like, if it says it here, it's not my interpretation. It says, if you don't love others, you are not a child of God. Like, that should hit strike people.
Mm-hmm.
And that certainly makes
and
me check myself.
And you're a murderer at heart.
Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah.
That's all.
Cool. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. So how does this help me love God more? Man, there's two stories here. And I'm not talking about Shamgar's very long epic story. Two stories here. You've got Ehud and Barak. Ehud, okay, went into this guy's palace, and he didn't get hit. The reason why his blade wasn't found is because you never carried a blade on your right thigh, because if you were right-handed, you couldn't draw it.
Hmm.
So they checked the left thigh. They didn't check his right thigh because he was left-handed. So that's odd. First of all, God designed this man to be left-handed.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that's pretty sweet. Okay. So Ehud goes into this guy's palace, kills him, right? Disembowels him, and then crawls away down the sewer and leads an army. Shows up in town, covered in feces, and says, get the army. And they're like, okay.
All right, dude, bro, we got questions, but let's just do this thing.
Yep, let's just
and
go.
He leads the army boldly, and they win. And then you've got Barak, who is called by this respected prophetess. And she says, you need to go get an army. And he says, well, I'll do it if you come with me. One of those men really loves God.
Mm.
And one of those men kind of loves God. If you're not finding yourself doing crazy, out of this world things for the mission that God's given you, which, by the way, we all have the same mission now, right?
Yeah.
To further the gospel. We're all on the same mission, right? If you're not doing crazy, out of this world stuff, if you're not thinking way outside the box and using the things you were born with, like left-handedness,
mm-hmm.
right? If you're not doing that, then if I'm not doing that, I'll change it to me. If I'm not doing that, or if I have an unwillingness to do that, then I don't love God to the level I should.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And we don't worry about credit like Barak and you know, Deborah points out. We don't worry about that stuff. But there are rewards. There are mm-hmm. eternal rewards for the things we do and don't do, right? So I just think there's something there. I can love God more by being so ridiculously out of my mind for him that I will go right into the king's room, hey, I have a secret for you, and then crawl down that guy's toilet to lead the army. Like, I'll do that. Whatever it looks like, God, whatever it is you want from me,
mm-hmm.
I'll do it. That's how I can love God more.
Yeah, that's cool. And kind of gross.
Very gross. I would that's prefer cool. not to crawl down any human poop, PG-13, so I can say that. But if I have to, then I might do it. Hey, that's my struggle. You don't love anyone, and I don't want to crawl through poop. So,
yeah, we're two peas in a pod over here. Yeah.
Also, I need to introduce you guys to a new character. I need to introduce you. The listeners have already heard.
Oh.
Tis I, Osmiel. I am here to judge you. And I have decided you are unworthy. Okay, get out of my house, Othniel. Farewell.
Wow. How did he get in here?
I let him in earlier because I...
Where's he been waiting?
He's been staying with us.
What?
Yeah, he's been in the guest room.
All this time. When did he move in?
It's not very roomy. I really hate him.
Shut up, Othniel.
He's so judgy. He's the first judge. Get out!